farmer's daughter. Take one.
I need to be famous, Wayne. All the best people are.
There ain't nobody else out there like you.
You know why?
Why?
Because you got that X factor.
Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we come.
Well, it's better to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Would you like to come inside? If Daddy catches us, there's no telling what he might do.
My wife is not well. It happens after dark.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Hello, Sydney.
Hi. Who is this?
It's your killer host. My name is Parker, your resident horror fanatic.
And I'm Julianne, your A24 whore.
And I'm John, your blood bitch.
And welcome to...
What's Your Favorite Scary Movie is a horror film podcast where we're on a journey to find our favorite scary movie one at a time.
Whether you hate them or love them, join us and discover yours.
Spoilers ahead, so plan your movie screening every weekend before the episode release.
Hello, and welcome to a brand spankin' new episode of What's Your Favorite Scary Movie? Today, we're talking A24's saucy new slasher, X. But that's just the tip. We're going to stab into a few other movies we're screaming for this month in a new segment we're calling Our Freaky Faves. I am joined today by our own A24 whore, Julianne.
Hi, boys.
And back on the pod is John.
Hello, everyone. Why do I get such a lame introduction?
No comment. All right. So today we're going to be talking about A24's X, which we are so excited about. But first, before we get to that and all of our spoilery thoughts, we are going to be discussing our freaky favorites, where we will be going around the circle and discussing what we've watched this month that we love, because there's just not enough time to podcast all the things that we want to podcast about. So we're going to do a little recommendation for you guys, and then we'll jump in to X. So to kick us off, I will start my freaky favorite of the month, even though I saw it last month. So, I mean, the rules are really loose and free here, is The Cursed. Did you guys see that?
I did not, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, because I heard decent things about it.
Yeah. John, I know you saw it because we saw it together. Yeah.
It's like, well, we went and saw it together, so.
Well, so what I really liked about The Curse is it's a slow burn werewolf movie, and I feel like werewolves, seen that. But I thought it had some really interesting additions to like the traditional werewolf movie and some really cool creature effects, which I've been really into lately. If you can give me some sort of gooey, icky monster, sign me up. There were some parts in this movie that were really ruthless and gross and nasty and maybe even made me a little bit sad. So I'm always on board for that. And something that I thought was really interesting that I feel like I don't feel often is that I felt like it would be really well adapted to like a stage play. So I was like, this is not a sensation I feel often while watching a movie, but I would love to go see The Cursed on Broadway. But that said, I do think it has some pretty big pacing issues, and it was kind of frustrating that it would be like zipping to like some really intense action where like I'd be like, oh, and then like immediately flip on a dime, like in a second, to just like complete stillness for a few minutes. And then it just was frustrating to me, because I'd be like, as soon as we got started, it was pulling us right back. But overall, smash from me. John, do you give it a stamp of approval?
I do. I agree. There was some pacing issues. I feel like 30 to 45 minutes of that movie could have been cut out.
Oh, ruthless. Well,
but I would still recommend it.
The other thing I saw this month that is not new, but I just want to shout out, is I saw Valentine for the first time last month, and I just thought it was a delight. It was really fun. I feel like that one gets a lot of hate, and I watched it and was like, this is exactly what I rented this movie to watch, so done and done.
I think my top of the past month would have been Fresh, which was a pleasant surprise.
Why? Why was it a surprise?
I was not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. It was just such like a fun take on the dating, like modern dating. I mean, you get there and the whole like vibe of the movie, it's like so fun and lighthearted. Like she found someone that she's really connected with after so many terrible dates. And then it turns out to be, can I spoil it? Are we allowed to spoil?
No, don't spoil the recommendations. Okay. But fun take on modern dating. It sounds like you have some horror stories to tell, John, from your dating life.
Well, I mean, I could bring up some from you, but
oh my god. That one kept me guessing the whole time.
And I also loved the relationship between the two friends, like two strong women working together to overcome this evil man. And just like the disgusting imagery of the two, of all the men in that movie.
Yeah.
Just being like pigs.
Yeah. What was that woman's name who plays her best friend? Because she, I think, was the star of the movie, like hands down. She was kind of like, what's his face in Get Out? That just really funny best friend.
Oh.
Movie.
That would be Molly, played by JoJo T. Gibbs.
Okay, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, Julianne, you've been really high on Fresh over the past month. I feel like you've been gassing her up.
I was. I think it's, I would have enjoyed it even more had I not watched the trailer. So if by chance you've avoided it so far in the last month and you still haven't found out, just don't even read it. Just don't read anything about it. Watch it. Just watch it. Yeah. It's it becomes one of those movies that changes with a half hour and you're like, oh shit. And the credits, or I'm sorry, not the credits, the title card rolls in 30 minutes in, which is so cool. Cause you're like, here's the actual movie. The last 30 minutes were just a primer. I love that. But I dig Fresh.
Yeah.
Some great kills, some scenes that made me want to throw up, which is hard to do.
Julianne, what are you loving right now?
You know, I'm going to go off of John and say there's a movie that it's not new, but it came out, I think, in 2020 called Black Bear. And I believe it premiered at Sundance that year and then should hit the fan with the pandemic, but it stars Aubrey Plaza. I don't want to give anything away because the similarity here is that the movie changes about a half hour in. It's one thing and then it's not. So I don't want to give too much away, but it starts off as Aubrey Plaza is this real, as she plays a real deadpan kind of character. She always does, plays it perfectly. She's a writer, filmmaker. She's kind of looking for inspiration. So she rents out this Airbnb in this like secluded area, beautiful place. And it's owned by this couple who is close in age. And they just start hanging out and there's like this weird sexual tension between the three of them and just things ensue. I wouldn't say that it's horror. It's more horror adjacent. It's more, it's a whole bunch of things. But I think if you're someone who is just kind of intrigued by like maybe like a thriller aspect or kind of more like just things that are seemingly one thing and they turn into a whole different ball game, I think you'll dig this movie. I was really blown away by it. I was super impressed by it. It's on Hulu as well. Mm. And on top of that, I watched a lot of new French Extremity films from Shudder. Yeah. Shudder dropped a whole bunch this past month. Frontiers. I had rewatched High Tension. I've seen that many times before. And Livid, I hadn't seen before. It's kind of hard to find in the past. Came out in 2011. Super cool movie. I don't even know how to describe the plot. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, it's a lot of different horror. It's disturbing. It's creepy. There's a nod to a Halloween 3 mask scene. Mm. I know we all love, but definitely recommend Livid. Speaking of Ty West, we're going to talk about in a moment. Go back and watch his movies if you haven't seen anything yet. Yeah. I rewatched The Sacrament. It's been a long time and whew, that is a dark path, but
I haven't seen his movies.
You, oh, yeah, John, I was looking back at the filmography, and The House of the Devil is the only one that I've seen. He also has, yeah, The Sacrament and The Innkeepers, which I saw, it used to be like everywhere on Netflix. It was always like, watch this. And I never did.
It's good. It moves a little bit slow for me, but it is good though. It is something that, you know, you may be a little bit like, okay, pick up the pace here, but I think it's worth a watch. But I'm just so happy he's back. So
yeah. And before we get to X, I thought we would do a quick moment where we could all shout out what we're excited and looking forward to seeing next. Julianne, why don't you kick this one off since you're on a roll, baby?
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm kind of looking forward to the surprises, the little indie movies that we don't know are coming out that just come out of nowhere. You're like, oh,
like
shit.
Like fresh.
There's also a movie called Speak No Evil. I believe Shudder acquired it from Sundance. I heard really dark, disturbing things about it. So I think it might be a heavy one, but Speak No Evil, look out for that one. I've heard interesting things. So
yeah, I'm all on the Northman train. I tried when I was thinking about this to like pick something off the path, but I was like, no, I can't think about anything else. I'm such a slut for Robert Eggers. I love The Witch. I love The Lighthouse. I feel like this trailer is giving me what I loved about The Witch that I was missing a little bit in The Lighthouse, where you get like the dark, foggy, dusty grayness and then like some really unnatural moments of beauty that I'm really looking forward to. Plus, I have such a boneski for both Nicole Kidman and Alexander Skarsgård, and so that's just going to be a big horn fest for me.
Weren't they in, what's that show called? Big Little Lies together?
They were, oh, were they?
He was an abusive couple, right?
Saw his wiener, which could have been a prosthetic. And thinking back, I think she like hits it with a tennis racket or something. Ooh, something weird happens. She like smacks it.
Yeah,
good moment. Culture. John, what are you looking forward to?
Northman as well. I'll jump on that train. Very excited. Is Uma out yet?
I think that came out this week. Sandra Oh.
This week?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a huge Sandra Oh stan. I love her in Grey's Anatomy. And Killing Eve is a fantastic show if no one's seen that. So I'm excited to watch that. I don't know if the movie will be that good, but I love her as an actor. So
yeah.
And also, I'm excited for, is it Men?
Men.
That's coming out from A24.
Yes. Yes.
From the director of
Ex Machina.
And Annihilation, I believe. And Alex, I'm an Annihilation stan.
Yeah, his name's Alex Garland. Yep.
That looked good.
It looks like a very interesting, it almost gave me Melancholia vibes a little bit. Just some of the shots in it, in the preview.
A24 is on a roll this year, because also coming out this month, I believe, is Everything Everywhere All at Once. Mm-hmm. And that looks like a fucking rager.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good year.
Yeah.
All right. I'm ready to talk about X. Let's get into that. X came out last week. It's so good. If you don't know what it's about, it is about a crew on an avant-garde art house porn who stay overnight at an isolated farmhouse outside of Houston, Texas in 1979. What starts as a sexy good time soon becomes an erotic massacre as the elderly couple who own the property begin picking them off one by one, slasher style. This is what we've all been looking forward to, I feel like, for months. This is what Julianne and I alluded to in our Texas Chainsaw Massacre as what we are deeming the true Texas Chainsaw Massacre sequel. And I don't know, it's given everything we want. So Julianne, start us out. What did you think of X?
I loved it. I loved it. I'm a tiehard, which I call for Ty West. I was so excited to get him back when I heard A24, Ty West and a slasher about a year and a half ago, it was announced. I was like, oh fuck, this is like my mea culpa of movies. And I went to go see it last Monday. I had got some bad news. And I was just bummed on Monday. This movie brightened my day. I had fun. I've been thinking about it ever since. I've seen it twice now. I saw it on Thursday night too. And I loved it. It had so much to chew on, but in a really simplistic, way that's not, which Ty West is really good at. He layers these themes in his movies that are super subtle and quiet and not in your face kind of way in a really great genre fair. That's the whole point of genre movies, is kind of layering these little messages and themes in these really fun, crazy, violent movies. And I just loved it.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Yeah. And Ty West, I was going to say, the director, writer, and editor. Yeah. And what I was going to say is, in The House of the Devil, that is a movie that I watch, and like, if I didn't know anything about that movie, it would fool me. I would think mm-hmm. that was a movie from the 70s.
Yeah.
This one, what I think is an interesting evolution, is it still looks very aesthetically 70s, but I think it's really like a fascinating shift from that, where it is also kind of what we think of as a 70s movie at this point, but mm-hmm. also fooling us a little bit. Like, I felt like in the editing, like it was almost making fun of us a little bit and having fun with like those sliding transitions.
Yeah.
And also I thought thematically, it's like stuff that is not out of place in the 70s, talking mm-hmm. about sexuality and beauty and aging, but it is also very modern in mm-hmm. those, in the way it discusses those. So, and I want to circle back to that in a second before or after saying that the cinematography for X was done by Elliot Rocket, who is also the cinematographer for The House of the Devil. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that that is a partnership made in hell. So yeah, I'm really high on X as well. And yeah, we'll dive into the layers in a second after we get John's top of mind thoughts on X.
I loved it. I thought it was so entertaining. I do like how they styled it kind of 70s. You have, you know, the framing of everything, the look, how it looks like it's almost shot on film at times, which I love that grainy texture to a movie. And I mean, how could you go wrong with two classic horror themes? Sex, drugs, and tons of blood.
Did we happen to see how Ty shot this? Because I couldn't find it. I was curious.
I have not, but I would love to think that, especially those little porn scenes, I really hope that they actually had one of those cameras going on there, because I really love the shifts in optics, vantage, I don't know, image, when it would shift from the movie we were watching to the movie they were filming. I think House of the Devil was shot on film, so I wouldn't be surprised if this was as well.
Yeah, I think that was 16 millimeter.
It makes me excited to see his other stuff, because I've never seen a Ty West film, so.
It's such a journey, yes.
Do it. I know. And such an interesting person, because also we've seen him act in You're Next. So it's like, we know Ty West from all angles, baby. I was going to ask Julianne, because I know this was like a movie tailor-made for you, as you said. Why don't you start us off on a little discussion on the themes happening here with beauty and aging and sex? And there's a lot of really interesting nuanced things happening here that I feel like are unusual and unique to be depicted in, you know, a mainstream theater movie. We saw this at an AMC.
Yeah, I think, I'm sure there are some women who may not agree with me, but I think that I really dig a male filmmaker who kind of gets it. And I saw that with Ari Aster. I saw that with even Robert Eggers in The Witch. They can write women and have empathy for women in a way that does not feel forced. It doesn't feel phony. It feels like they actually get what it's like. Not that they ever fully will, but you know what I mean? They're just empathetic to it. And I think in this film, it was so cool to me to see a 40-something guy write about a woman, a very much older woman who is still horny, who we could all be so lucky to be 80 years old or something and still want sex. I mean, God, I mean, how rare is that? But to be this like fetishization of beauty and youth in a way that's like, we still, that can be easily placed in right now. I mean, look at social media now. I'm 30 something and I still feel like it's like you're constantly comparing, you're constantly in your head. Like, and this woman has to be, yeah, she's bitter and she is entitled and she's, you know, lashing out because she's not getting what she wants. Is that wrong? Of course it is. But it's darkly funny in a way that's like, she's like, I don't like blondes. I'm going to kill her. He's not going to fuck me. I'm going to kill him. Like, it's just, how often do we ever see a movie, a hagsploitation movie, that's because of she's horny? It's a horny hagsploitation movie. I never saw something like that before. I've never seen a movie where the motivation is just purely like, fuck you, I'm jealous of you and you're flaunting it in my face and I don't like it. I think that's that is so, it's simplistic, but yet it's not, and I love that.
Yeah, and I've already seen on Twitter there was something about people criticizing the way this movie has, like, I don't know, there was a really bad take about someone saying that it has like misinterpreted the original reason that sex was in horror movies, which, garbage. But what I think is interesting though is that people so often say that sex was in those original slashers as a morality tale, which again, those directors from that time have pushed back against time and time again. But what is so interesting about the way this slasher is depicting sex is that it's not about morality. Well, it is about morality, this movie, but it's not punishing, it's not doing that, but it's also not doing this thing where sex is such a distraction where nobody can see the killer because they're having sex, like in, you know, Halloween or something, but that it is using sex as a lens kind of for internal workings of desire. And something that really struck me as myself, a person with a bachelor's degree in dance, who has performed once or twice, something that I could really relate to Pearl, the main character, the elderly woman who I was fucking shocked when I was writing the notes for this to find out was played also by Mia Goth, who played Maxine. She played both roles and that blew my mind. I mean, I think you can tell that the elderly woman is wearing some age makeup, but I just did not know it was the same actress. That is insane to me.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I mean, looking back, I'm like, how was I so stupid? Of course it was. But something that I really connected to is that dance, you know, is so much about obviously your body and just being in tune with your body. And, you know, I see even in like dance academia and stuff, there's such a discourse about what is sexual and what is not in dance. When really it's like the idea of your body and sex don't have to be that separate. And so my favorite moment in the whole movie was when she killed RJ in front of that car and then felt so like enlivened by that moment, that like the line between killing and sex and orgasm like seemed blurry, and is so like suddenly in tune with her body and has that like dancing moment in front of the lights, which is kind of funny and like campy. But also I felt really emotionally invested in that moment as someone who I've literally said, as soon as my body like cannot do what I want it to, like I'm done, I want to be out of here. So I thought that like thinking of this in terms of like just bodies was really fascinating, both in terms of the sex and the horror and those weird lines between death and pleasure.
Yeah, apparently Ty was inspired by this because he turned 40 and he was like, man, my bodies can't do exactly the same things that I was doing 10 years ago or so. And he started thinking about aging and started thinking about what that feels like when you come to a point where it's like, oh shit, my life just passed me by and I cannot no longer do the things. And your brain still wants those things. Mm-hmm. And I like how we can have a discussion about this. I chime in, John, what would you think? But I mean, I think this movie is still very sex positive. I think it's actually extremely sex positive, even though they inevitably die for having sex. But like, I think it still is. I mean,
and it's also interesting, like how the generational difference in how they view sex.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, her whole thing, like she wants to have sex. Like she still has that libido, that drive.
Yeah.
And then how they making the film view sex, they have that whole conversation on the couch saying, you know, it's just sex. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, you can have love for someone, but still feel physical attraction, and the two aren't separate. Like, or the two are separate. They're not the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was a thing that I was thinking was an example of such a 2022 conversation in a movie that still feels true to the 70s. Yeah. Because that's a conversation so many people are having right now about what are ideals and values that are just instilled in us because they always have been, and what are actual values that like are meaningful and still that's carry over. Yeah, it's so interesting. And I also thought that it was really brave of this movie. I mean, of course, there's a very particular demographic of people who would be going to see this movie. The trailer is not fooling any like evangelicals to go see X. I don't think that's going to happen. But the way that this movie is critical, I don't think of Christianity in particular, but of organized religion and this kind of brainwashing way of instilling morality in people, I thought was really brave and something that you don't see so harshly done. The way that the movie is doing this kind of like flickering between like the televangelist and the herd of cattle, I thought that when that happened, my brain, I said, preaching to the cattle, and that is my new phrase. And just the way that it is doing those just kind of subtle, sometimes subtle, sometimes not, criticisms, I just was like, wow.
Yeah,
I enjoyed the religious aspect to where the, you know, the husband and the wife kind of think they're holier, they're better than these younger people because these younger people are just having sex and being whores, as I think she says at one point.
Well, I want to push back on that a little bit because I think the husband is. This movie is so much of the men trying to play the women and not understanding that they just can't. Yeah. It brings to mind in My Big Fat Greek Wedding when she says, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And she can turn it anyway. That's what this movie was giving me because the woman, the Pearl.
I guess it's more like she's more coveting. Like she is jealous and coveting these like younger female bodies and like their ability to be so free. And he is like judgmental and putting her down and holding her in.
Well, and he's doing the same thing. He's doing that because he thinks he can't have sex and that he can't get it up for her. But it's also the same thing with the men in the porn group because, Jenna Ortega, she wants to be in the movie. And then RJ's like, not my girlfriend. And then they have that conversation outside where they are talking about like, well, I'll make them do this. No, I'll make them do this. And all the time you can see the women through the window, like going to get a like, they're just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to the deaths as well, where it's like, okay, let's knock these men off so we can actually get to the interesting part, which is the women.
That's true. And speaking of which, speaking of non-traditional, I mean, look at Maxine as our final girl. I mean, Maxine is a coke snorting porn star, you know, like she's, the one thing I will say, I do think she's a little bit thin. Like, I do think she's a little bit thinly written, where I would like to have seen a little bit more about her, but that's okay. I mean, it's not a big deal, but look at that. I mean, how like that total, this takes place in 1979. At that time, we had Laurie Strode. We had a couple, you know, we had Sally Hardesty. We had a couple final girls like happening in cinema, but like that whole thing of like, she is just the pillar of non-morality, and she gets out of there and she's snorting coke. She runs away, gets away. And like, and the whole mantra of like, I will not accept the life I do not deserve. Like that could be applied to, she used that of what her daddy preached her in a whole other way. That's more meaningful to her. That's way more interesting. And I think I love that.
Yeah. I was also thinking about the thinly written part. It is interesting because I feel like Jenna Ortega, who of course is like our new scream queen from Scream and what she was in You. And there was one other thing I thought was interesting. Oh, she was in the Babysitter sequel. Not good. But she, first of all, when she screamed in that basement, chills, beautiful, killer, pipes, lungs. you know, whatever. But then also Brittany Snow's character, who of course is the queen from the Prom Queen remake, which we all adore.
Oh, yeah.
I actually thought for Brittany Snow is obviously not the final. Like, we know she's going to get a nice little death in there. Jenna Ortega, they kept me guessing. But I think that the way that the side characters in these movies are still able to give you like certain depths, really incredible.
Yeah.
And I wanted, speaking of Brittany Snow, of course, an accomplished singer, star of Hairspray, the movie, which we love. I wanted to ask your opinion, Julianne, on this interesting scene where she hooks up with her friend Kid Cudi on the guitar and they sing Landslide. On this montage of Pearl trying to put on her seducing makeup. And what do you think of this really bizarre sequence?
I didn't think it was bizarre because I think that the lyrics in that song are about getting older and changing. And the Ty West, it boggled my mind. I saw people going, what was the point of that scene? That was so out of place. And I was like, what? That was the literal point of that song, is that it's reflecting on life and getting older. And they're showing a literal split screen of Pearl looking at herself in the mirror and reflecting on it's sad. She's putting on the blue eyeshadow like Maxine. She's trying to look and feel younger and pretty and desirable. And you have these people who are younger and are desirable and are beautiful. And they're self-aware enough where they're saying, someday we're going to be so old, we're not gonna be able to fuck. Like, I think that was really that was a thoughtful kind of like they're not, these people aren't assholes. These younger people are not assholes. They're just trying to live their lives the best way they can before it passes them by. And I think that unfortunately, we don't know if Pearl has let life pass her by per se, but she can no longer do the things that she wants to do. And she's reflecting on that. And I think that it was a beautiful scene. I thought it was so thoughtful and poignant.
Yeah. That's interesting that you said people didn't get it, because the reason I thought that it was slightly out of place is because I thought it stepped a little too far into on the nose for me. I feel like much of the movie was on the nose, but this one was like, so much like nudge. Hey, if you haven't caught on so far, like,
I was like, how do people don't get this? Like, it's crazy, but yeah.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. Honestly, I think that the scene where Pearl tries to seduce her husband and fails, and then the scene where they actually do have sex, kind of instill what that scene did, I think, a little more gracefully. I'm not mad at it, but I was watching and I was like, this is a little bit more precious than the rest of the movie has been. Yeah. I don't know, don't hate it, but I also was like, could have lost it. I don't know. Oh, something that I really enjoyed about the ending, you talked about her driving away and doing the bump of coke. And I, of course, you know, have been so brainwashed by the slasher formula that I assumed that the police officers we were seeing at the beginning of the movie, who of course, iconic line at the end, you know, goddamn horror, whatever he says, so good as a final line of a movie.
Goddamn fucked up horror picture, I think.
Yeah. So good.
One of the boys found this inside.
What do you think is on it?
I see one goddamn fucked up horror picture.
But I, of course, assumed she drove away and got the police. But what I think is interesting, then seeing the movie and realizing that she didn't, and they're just finding this scene, is that as much as this movie can preach about, and preach, I don't mean in like a mean way or anything, but as much as it can discuss like sex positivity and understanding and being non-judgmental, in the end, Mia Goth's character, I don't think, would be able to go get the police. Like, I think that there was a really sly message in the end of, like, if she had gone and gotten the police, like, they would have judged her just as much as maybe the older people.
Yeah.
And so there are some insidious things. Also, so much talk about the American dream. And then you see Pearl, and it's like, that's what the American dream got her. So there's a lot of there's a lot of really harsh criticisms of society in here that are like, really like, oof.
I actually forgot about that in the beginning. Yeah, they're all in the van talking about what's your American dream, Maxine? Mm-hmm. What's your, and it, I, yeah, that, that's true. It kind of harkens back to like, here's the American dream. You have a couple living their own little world in their farm and married life for all these years and yet not happy now. We don't know.
They've got their white house in the, you know, Texas fields, but I don't know. I think be critical and make up your own mind. Point of the movie.
don't be a cow or a sheep.
Any other thoughts before we get into our fun wrap up questions?
I will say there's a, and tell me if you guys be interested in reading about this. I'm thinking about pitching this, but there's actually a couple, I think they're from Missouri, or they were from Missouri, they're dead now, but they were a very old couple, serial killers who used to kill people at younger people that come to their farmhouse. And it kind of reminded me of this. Their names are Ray and Faye Copeland. This happened back in the 80s, but I thought it was kind of interesting. I was like, Ty, did you know about Ray and Faye Copeland? And were you kind of getting back? I don't know, but I just thought that was an interesting little, not too many, you know, very, very senile people killing people. So, or maybe there are, we just don't know about them, but yeah, they're two of the most famous ones. So
that's interesting. I'd read that.
Yeah.
I'd read it. Yeah. I love anything true crime.
Yeah.
Hello, listener. This is Parker from the future, letting you know that Julianne, the fastest keyboard in town, has indeed written this article, and you can read it right now on bloodydisgusting.com. Go check it out and support our own A24 whore. All right. I want to know, you guys, what was your most memorable murder from X? John, kick us off.
I think it would have to be the very first murder of the scene of RJ. Getting right. That's the one who was
in front of the car.
Director. Yeah.
Okay. Make sure he's getting the right person. Mm-hmm. Of RJ just getting hacked away, like his whole neck just getting stabbed repeatedly.
Blood spewing out.
The lights. And as the whole color just shifts to red, and then she just slowly dances, and you can just see her come back to life, and she's so happy.
I gotta say, I love when movies like this justify a stylistic thing, like the scene turning red because the lights are covered. That is just so funny.
Yeah, like she just hacked away so much, she just splattered those lights in blood.
It was so good. Julianne, what do you think?
I agree, but I'm going to go with, just because this is a personal fear of mine, even though it didn't kill him initially, just when Wayne steps on that goddamn nail. Listen, that is something I go down when I go to my mom's house, and she has these like really, you know, creaky stairs in the basement. And I swear I look down at my feet every single time just to make sure there's nothing on the stairs. And that's a huge fear of mine, is stepping on a nail. And I think that was, I was like, oh, it just, the winciving of that. Eventually, of course, he dies from getting a rake in his eyeball, but that didn't affect me as much as the nail in the foot.
So. Well, and getting nailed.
Getting nailed.
You know, for me, it was hands down. I watched the movie and I was like, that's the one. Brittany Snow getting chomped by that gator. That was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And she goes, bitch, jump.
That was a good one.
I don't like swans. So darkly funny. Oh my God, so funny.
That was a good scene. On a scary scale, you guys, 1 to 5, where would you put X, Julianne?
I'll go with 3. I think it's probably more fun than scary per se, but I think it can be really nasty and violent. I think, I don't know, there were sequences where I was like, these people are kind of fucking creepy. I mean, if Pearl was in my bed touching me while I was sleeping like that, I'd be freaking out. So they're kind of creepy. 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 4. Step it up from you. Just feel like, I mean, when I was a kid, I was such a little scaredy cat. If I saw a horror movie in theaters, like I would like be considering walking out, because I'd be like hands in front of my eyes. And I just, as an adult, have not felt that in so long. And there were a couple scenes where like I was really tensed up with my hands like ready to cover my face. And the jump scares in this movie were so interesting because so many of them were not just like somebody popping out, but in the editing, which is so weird. I feel like I haven't seen that. So yeah, I thought it was really scary and yeah, really nasty. Mm-hmm. And of course, a lot of mature content because we got a lot of naked people, not a lot of penis. I want a little more pee. You know, if we're going to objectify these men, I want a little more pee.
Yeah, a little shadow pee, but that's all we got.
That was hilarious, though. Yeah. Well, that and then the corpse, we got his weenie who was hanging up in that cellar.
Real quick, how do we feel with Kid Cudi, kind of his death being shied away like that? Do we like that? Because I noticed Ty did that a couple times where he kind of shied away from showing, and I was like, that's interesting. But I guess he wanted to make more of an impact of the kills that like he wanted to actually show.
Yeah.
I
thought that was a bummer. I did think that it was like a thrilling sequence, like, because I thought maybe the gator was going to get him in the water. And then, you know that the man is bad, but Kid Cudi doesn't. I don't know. But I also am not a fan of guns in horror movies. Like, I want something that feels not only a little more intimate, but also just like a little more like gross. And guns, I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't know.
Too easy.
Too easy, too real, too. I want something a little more elevated, to use a taboo word in the horror industry. John, scary scale.
I think I'd have to give it a 2.5. I was not very scared during it. I loved the movie. I thought it was a great slasher movie. Some of the themes and messages were scary. And like when she gets into bed, very creepy and gross and kind of makes your skin crawl. But a lot of the scares I found predictable, like with Wayne looking through the eye holes or Jenna Ortega like reaching for the locks.
Well, well, I guess disagree. So would you guys give X a smash or a slash? John, why don't you hit us up for this one?
Huge smash.
How hard?
Multiple smashes.
Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah, smash, 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 smash.
Julianne?
I want this movie to smash me like that plowing service on the van. I want this movie to smash me. Smashes Brittany Murphy. Ooh, Brittany Snow. Oh, and yeah, love it.
Quick moment of silence for Brittany Murphy.
R.I.P.
Oh, well, and I'm giving it a smash too. I am not just Maxine getting smashed in that barn. I'm also Pearl imagining I'm getting smashed in that barn. I am Brittany Snow saying, you can smash me all you want, but I'm making the noises here. So... big smash for me. And of course, you can guess what's my favorite scary movie. It's X. Julianne.
Oh no, between Scream and X. Oh fuck.
I know, I love Scream, but
this is something
extra.
This is, yeah, you know what, I'll give this by a tad, I'll give this a hair X.
Wow, nail biter. Oh, John,
I had that X factor. But I think, yeah, right now it's probably one of my most favorite scary movies.
Yeah.
The question was not what's one of your most favorite scary movies. The question is, what's your favorite scary
movie? It's hard to pick.
Yeah, well.
Like in that Nick Cage movie that's coming out for, and I keep seeing previews for a million times. That's a hard question.
We're waiting on an answer.
Oh my god. I'd say it's my favorite scary movie.
I'm so not convinced by that answer, but
we got
Triple X. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. It's been a romp. It's been a sexy good time chatting with you guys. And you know, if you liked this episode format, let us know. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Scary Movie Pod. You could even send us an email, scarymoviepod@gmail.com, if you have ideas about this. And we will let you know when we're coming back, because, you know, it's been loose and free on this podcast. just like some people in a movie we just saw. And you know, I couldn't tell you what we're doing next. So again, follow us on social media, and that's where you're gonna find out. Julianne, if they want to hear more from you, where can they go?
Yeah, follow me at Twitter and on the gram at the Jewel Marie.
And John, all your stuff's on private. So you know what? Good yeah. luck. If we have any sleuths out there, you know, get on it. You can find me, Parker, on Instagram and Twitter and Letterboxd at Parker Del Rey. And any final words, everyone? Bye.